Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in the back of Roberta's restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I've got two out of the four members of the Brooklyn-based band Small Black.
Soon to be three.
Soon to be three. I've got Josh and Ryan in the studio.
Yo.
Hey.
Thanks for coming. We'll see who else shows up eventually.
BQE.
BQE.
Stops most things from happening.
So you have been very busy gentlemen, over the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
Nonstop. So yeah, let's go over what you've been up to. You came out with a self-titled debut album in 09.
Yeah, an EP.
An EP. Can you tell I'm not a music person?
No, it's okay. I don't even remember what we put out anymore.
Story of my life, too. You've done New Chain, which is pretty amazing. You've done collaborations with Washed Out, and you just came out with my favorite mixtape, Moon Killer.
Thanks.
Released on 11/11/11, so postmodern. So
it's just my lucky number.
Really?
Yeah, always has been. So when I saw that date, we had to put something out on that day.
Have you ever played the lottery with that number? Or?
I don't play the lottery.
Yeah.
I get too sad when I see people play scratch-offs.
Interesting. Well, so yeah, I mean, tell me, what have you guys been up to of recent?
Just watching people play scratch-offs at the deli and getting really sad. I used to live next to like the mecca of scratch-off lottery tickets. And there would be a line out the door for it sometimes, and I would just hope that that wouldn't be me one day. So that spurred me on to do most things I've done in my life.
Ryan, do you play the lottery or?
No, I don't.
No. Interesting.
Really. I mean, I used to work at 7-Eleven in high school, and you'd see all these people come in and spend all of their money, like Win for Life. They drop $300 on Win for Life tickets, and it's.
The one thing I'll say though is a kid that I knew in high school, Brian Follander. He was this kind of notoriously ill-behaved kid. He would come up to you and like show you his penis and in gym class and stuff. And when he was like 19, he won like $100 million. So that's
he didn't.
Yeah, he did. He's like a zillionaire now.
That's insane.
So that's, I mean, the lottery can do that for you.
Yeah, it can do a lot for you. So, all right. So you guys, yeah, Moon Killer is pretty awesome. What inspired you to put this out?
Well, you know, I think in between records, a lot of times bands put out an EP. And, you know, it's hard to find an arc through five songs sometimes unless you have like a really defined concept. So then we were like, should we do some singles? Or I don't know. I just had the idea talking with these guys, and we wanted to kind of play with the idea of like what a rap mixtape is, and like can a band do that and kind of stay true to the form and also like be a band and not obviously a rap group or a DJ. So I don't know. It was also a chance to like work with samples, which we hadn't done in the past. Everything is always like our sound. So we wanted the ability to just be like, all right, we want to use this Pere Ubu song. We're just going to use it and not care because we're not selling the tape. So I don't know. It was really one of the most fun things we've done as a band because there was no rules and no constraints to kind of box it in.
Yeah, I think it was really nice to just have the freedom with, you know, just trying, experimenting with new sounds. And
yeah, and also just, like, we talked to Hima about it, and he was really pumped on the idea, and, like, he came over and did some tracks, and then it was like, all right, this is real. We're going to make this happen now. So he really helped the process along.
Yeah, so for the listeners out there, Hima, or Heems from Das Racist, is on this. You also have some remixes from Starslinger and Phonetic. Yeah. And a great sample of Nicki Minaj, and then the Carpenters, right? So what, I mean, when you were going through the process, like, where did you pull inspiration? Were you just kind of, like, picking things from...
I was going through a lot of, like, 90s New York rap stuff that I listened to in high school, and I just thought, like, the music we make isn't that different from this, like, the instrumental, so, like, can we take snippets of this and make it into our own thing and make it sound like Small Black, and I don't know, I think we did it.
Yeah. So you guys grew up on Long Island. Long Island, rather.
That's the place.
You don't have an accent.
Strong.
Been working on that all my life.
Did you guys grow up on Hot 97? Or
I'm still on Hot 97.
All the time. Yeah. So growing up, what were you listening to?
I mean, I went through a lot of phases. Like, grunge was huge for me. And then in high school, it was, like, mostly rap. So... a lot of New York rap, like Tribe and Mobb Deep and De La and Kool G Rap. I was real into, like, late 90s backpacker stuff. Like, I was, like, into that scene. It was really fun. I mean, Company Flow, like Black Star, that stuff really holds up. It's really good. Some of that other stuff is really kind of crappy. It was like all the rap groups started talking about how much they hated Puffy, and then the songs just became only about that, and then it was like, oh, you guys are worse than Puffy is now. All you do is talk about how much you hate him.
Ryan, what were you listening to growing up?
I was kind of all over the place. You know, I was really, I mean, just being an early teenager, I was in a hardcore band. I listened to a lot of, you know, hardcore punk rock. I was into a lot of, you know, new wave also, and, you know. And then the grunge thing happened, and that kind of took over my life for a while. Yeah, that was kind of...
the deck is pretty stacked against you on Long Island. Like,
it's true.
There's a lot of bros. Yeah. You know, a rap was definitely, like, the most accessible thing to me that was actually good. So, otherwise, I didn't even know where there was, like, a record store that... besides, like, Tower Records, that was my mecca. Like, that was the best place I could possibly get to, so...
yeah,
I don't know, it took to get a little older to, like, get exposed to stuff that I probably still listen to now.
So yesterday Wikipedia temporarily shut down, you know, along in a protest against an anti-piracy act in Congress. As artists, how do you guys think that this could affect you if it would go through? What do you think about, you know, online with samples and things like that?
Well, I mean, it's hard to imagine what the world was like 10 years ago when stuff wasn't so accessible. Like, I've grown so used to this reality of being able to see any movie I want, listen to any song I want, you know, instantaneously. So it's hard to say, like, oh, I don't want that anymore, or that might be regulated. So I mean, I don't think they can stop this stuff totally. They can just scare you.
Or just make examples out of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's too hard. Like,
it's just too much of our culture now. It's for the instant accessibility to any type of media now. It's like...
yeah, just regular. I think as a kid, when you think about things being regulated, you think there's, like, this magic police somewhere or this insane group of people that can do, but they can't do this work. Like, you, once you've had a job and you know, like, how much it takes just to do this one stupid thing that you do, like, you know that they're not going to spend money on this. Like, so I don't know. I probably read what the bill is loosely. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't think anyone does, but you're just like, oh, you want to regulate the internet? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. The internet is, I mean, the question and of our time. Just, it's completely changed my life for sure.
Yeah, I mean, how has it changed your music? I mean, let's pretend you guys were coming out 10 years ago. Like, yeah. How do you think it's affected you?
Well, you're more at the mercy of, like, a label and just like sending a demo to a label. That sounds like a nightmare, you know? Like, I can't imagine anyone would ever, it's like applying to a Craigslist job, you know? It's like the odds of someone, it's even if like it was really good, hole. Like,
yeah,
you have to live in a city like New York where if you want to like become a band that's working and doing that to get, you know, to as a living, then yeah, you have to like link up with someone that can get the music in people's ears. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, not having the internet as that, you know, sort of catalyst to getting your music to millions of people. I mean, to think of it back then and just having to rely on a label, it just seems like it just wouldn't work. I don't know.
Yeah, it just the whole idea of like making it has changed, and I think that's a really good thing.
For sure. You know, one of the reasons why I love having bands on my show is that you have this ability to, you know, tour the country and see a lot of America really quickly and sort of have like a fly on the wall approach to seeing things in cities, whether it's food or, you know, a cultural tradition or whatever. And I'd love to know from you guys a place that you've been on tour that you may have been to before or haven't before and sort of surprised you with something that's really unique about that place.
There's so many.
I know, it's hard to
our favorite cities to hit on tour. I mean, there's like a food tour retrospective, there's like a fun tour retrospective.
Let's focus on the food tour retrospective.
Yeah, but I have a really good memory of, I can remember what we ate on most nights of all of our touring experiences, so.
That's impressive.
Stuff that really sticks out to me as being amazing in Ghent, Belgium, the assistant to the owner of the club cooked us this really amazing pork roast. And
I had a veggie option, a vegetable
roast, and we sat on this really long table above the club in this really tight, you know, very European apartment,
very rustic.
It was so cool.
It was
delicious,
really fancy.
Yeah, that's definitely near the top. We went to this place in Phoenix called, it's a worst name, it's like Pita Grill or something. It sounds like a stupid place. And everybody at the club's like, you gotta go to this place. We're like, all right. And we go there, and it was like the most amazing Mediterranean, and like, it was like kind of like, yeah, Mediterranean fusion, but yeah, they were killing it. They had like wasabi hummus, and like, it's like jalapeno. Oh, it was so good.
Good, yeah.
I would highly recommend that place. It's in like, I think it's in Yuma.
I don't remember.
Who knows? It's like Pita Grill, though. I think that's what it is.
There's somewhere in Canada that was.
Oh, there's a roti place.
Roti, that's what it
in
was.
In Toronto. That's really, really good.
Amazing.
It's very. Oh, what's the name of that club? Crap. I should have written. I should have looked these places up because I knew we were going to talk about food. The worst food?
Yeah, what's the worst thing you've ever eaten?
Ryan had Burger King in Storrs, Connecticut, and then he puked
right before we went on, and then immediately after we played. But that was my fault, since I got Burger King.
And we had this
veggie burger.
Really disgusting. Ooh.
What was that Mexican food that you and I ate that one time?
Oh, in Brighton, in Brighton. England. We were just dying.
This is what usually happens with us. Like, all four of us will, you know, we have the moment where we're deciding where to eat, and nobody can make a decision about food. And I kind of feel bad because I'm the only, like, true vegetarian of the bunch. And, like, I try to stay pretty open-minded about where we eat, and I'll just, like, kind of wing it, you know? But, and most of the time, you know, someone will side with me to eat something healthy or whatever. And so, but it always turns into, well, Ryan can't eat there, you know? And so let's think of somewhere else. I'm just like, guys, I don't really care. And, so we'll just like have this, you know, indecisive moment where we can't figure out where we're going to eat. And so we just ended up splitting up in like kind of a rash kind of a way.
And they got like this really classic like British pub meal, which was, you know, that's what you do when you're in England. Right. And
we're like,
got
no,
the worst.
We're like, no, we're going to go, like we're going to get Mexican.
It was brutal. It was like cardboard chips and like.
It was pretty horrible.
Heartburn was
I think
free.
We were looking at each other like trying to salvage our decision and being like, this is kind of good.
Yeah, but I was trying to convince myself really hard.
Not feeling it.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, exactly.
The next day. We're going to take a very quick break. You guys are going to, you've selected a song off of the mixtape. Are we listening to Moonkiller?
I think so.
Yeah. Take it away. Keep it locked. You're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network.
Foods Market creates win-win partnerships with our suppliers, and we love to tell their stories. Red Jacket Orchards is a family-owned farm in the Finger Lakes of the Hudson Valley that's grown for decades alongside Whole Foods Market. Their apples, pears, ciders, and juices are some of New York's best and seasonal staples for any kitchen. Come have a taste in one of our six Manhattan locations.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by the boys from the amazing Brooklyn-based band Small Black. We've got Josh, Ryan, and now Juan. Juan, thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry the BQE was so aggressive. But yeah, we, you know, before the break, we were talking about many things, and you just heard Moonkiller off of their mixtape, Moonkiller. And right before the break, we were talking about road food and bad, bad road food, and some good road food, too. And Juan, you were, I've been told, in the kitchen at one time. Is that right?
Yeah, I used to actually work at a couple of restaurants in D.C., a place called Jaleo, which is like Spanish tapas. And another place called Rupert's, which is a really small, like, just 20 people, 30 people seated. So, yeah, I used to be in the kitchen, prep cook, a little bit of line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I feel like I know so many musicians who are also in kitchens. It seems like a common...
Yeah, cooking, you know, music.
Night owls.
Night owls. Yeah, for sure.
I couldn't handle the hours. That was what really messed me up. And, like, you're there... You know, 6 in the morning to 3 a.m. Just like, it's ridiculous. So,
yeah,
it's, music's better.
Yeah.
Better hours.
For sure. I want to pretend I'm James Lipton from Inside the Actor's Studio for a minute in a less creepy way and do kind of like a quick fire series of questions about the, you know, New York City best of in your mind. So, ooh. Let's see. What is your favorite New York restaurant?
Do you guys have
Josh,
one?
That's hard.
That's really hard.
Oh.
Or not even a restaurant. It could be like whatever, a cheap eat or something you eat all the time.
Yeah.
That we have.
Yeah, we're down. We're super down. I love Carmine's Pizza. No offense to Robert, but that's like my go-to slice. I'm really into the Kalamata olive slice. That fuels me at least like 2 to 3 times a week. Yeah. If you're a poor musician, pizza is like... Ryan and I were trying to estimate just how many pizzas we've eaten together working on songs in like the past 5 years. I think it's definitely in the thousands.
It's got to be, yeah.
Yeah.
That's multiple pizzas a day.
Yeah.
If you're doing the math. We love Tacos Nuevo Mexico.
Oh, yeah, that place
is
great.
Which is in Park Slope. We get their tacos all the time. They have an amazing cold shrimp tostada. It's really good. Homemade guac. What else? I went to Sweetbread the other day. It was really good. And I like Number 7. We like Number 7.
Number 7.
Yeah, that place is really
good.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. Is Queen's Hideaway still around?
I don't actually know.
That place was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's about it.
What about booze? What do you drink? Or... Maybe you don't drink. I don't know.
Tito's vodka.
Tito's
vodka. What? Yeah.
Lots of Tito's.
A lot of Tito's vodka.
Lots of Evan Williams, too.
New Chain was completely fueled by Tito's vodka.
Really?
For better or worse, you know.
Yeah.
Tito's definitely had an influence.
Little Evan, too.
On the sound.
Little Evan.
Little Evan Williams, if you wanted to mix it up.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of Tito's.
If you weren't in the vodka mood.
They actually... saw that we were talking about them a lot and invited us to their
distillery. Yeah.
Awesome. Next time we're there, we're going to go grab a couple, hang out with Tito. My dad's name is also Tito, so.
That's why we really like it.
But it brings it back, you know.
I'm actually from Austin.
Oh, so you're very familiar.
I love Tito's. Yeah, it's great.
So good.
Tito's always hanging out, drinking Tito's. It's great. What about bars, New York bars? Do you have a staple?
Daddy's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like our friend opened up St. Vitus in Greenpoint. It's really great. I don't know. I never go to bars anymore.
Yeah.
We're just working on the album all the time.
Too busy.
Used to go to Daddy's a lot. You know.
I really like Boulevard Tavern in Greenpoint. That's like that and the Palace. Those are really near my house. And that's like Palace is like $1.50 Budweiser's. And metal. And
you love
that's
Palace.
Crazy.
Yeah, wow. That place is cool. I actually was involved in a barroom brawl there.
Oh, yeah.
I got ejected from the place.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything, but my friend that I was with spilled a drink, and they tried to throw her out, and I was like, we're not leaving, you know, because it was really just an accident, and then I got forcibly removed, and then it escalated into, like, my roommate at the time was a real hothead, like, in a good way, like, he'd stick up for you, and he just kind of went nuts, and then it just turned into like a crazy fracas. Like the bouncers punched. It was really insane. I like that place now, but I didn't go back there for like 3 years. But I,
some roadhouse
it's
vibe.
The same thing. Like as a kid, you watch like some western, and it's like just crazy brawl in this bar, and they're like,
Swayze.
Oh, I guess
Swayze.
Yeah,
it's Swayze. Roadhouse moment.
It's really all about Swayze.
I'm so glad you know about Roadhouse.
Oh, I love Roadhouse.
It's one of our favorite. Collective really? Favorite films, you know, it's so good.
My favorite part of the movie is when the main guy is like Ben Gazzara, I forget his name, he's like, they didn't have nothing here, I brought everything. Oh, yeah. I brought JCPenney's. Yeah. I brought a McDonald's. What would they do without me?
Yeah,
I think about that all the time, like in a man's justification of his life as yeah. bringing JCPenney's to a town.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben Wesley, that's his name. Yeah, I love that guy.
The funny thing is, Roadhouse has actually been spoken about in full detail on this show before.
I'm sure.
In great lengths.
Yeah. If you had TBS in the 90s, there's no way you didn't see it multiple times. It was on just nonstop.
Yeah, I always watched it when I was homesick with like a stomach flu. So I don't really remember.
It's got anything, everything but... you want. It's got Swayze. It's got, you know, the guy with the coolest voice in America as his sidekick, Sam Elliott.
Yeah,
then it's got Ben Gazzara, who's, you know, gets it done. And who's the girl?
I don't know, but she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's like the perfect.
We don't like blondes in this band, but we like her.
She's like cut from the Kelly McGillis, you know, like the top.
Lovely. Like, yeah. Oh, just so pretty.
So, Roadhouse, yeah. What are you guys doing this spring? What's going on? Are you working on some stuff at the moment?
Recording? Yeah, we're just working on a record. We're trying not to do anything else.
Yeah.
Trying to finish it, yeah.
When are you trying to get it out there?
I think summer.
Probably summer, yeah.
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 It takes time. Once you turn it in, then you got to do all the other things that go along with putting a record out.
Yeah. What are you guys late night drinking with this record?
This record?
Tito's?
It's more of a whiskey record.
Record. It's getting a little scotch also, getting a little smokier with the whiskey. Drinking a little bit of, I think it's like Islay or something. It's like some part of Ireland where it's more smoky. So very smoky scotch. That's what we've been into.
Just scotch, not
that's more. Me personally, just a lot of scotch. Yeah, I don't know about these guys.
Bourbon? No?
Smoothies.
Yeah. Seltzer?
Yes. Love I got seltzer. The seltzer maker for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got
homemade
one, too.
Seltzer.
It's the best thing that's happened to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't leave the house if I had one, actually.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like, I don't go to the convenience store anymore. Like, I haven't been since I got it once.
Put a little lime in there.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life is so much better with a seltzer machine.
It's really good.
Are you guys performing anywhere soon that people can come check you out at?
If you're in Colorado on March 3rd, we're playing at the Snowball Music Festival.
Snowball.
In Vail. But
yeah.
Yeah, we're really not. We're trying not to play unless it's something we can't really turn down.
Yeah. I hear that. Are you going to South by Southwest or no?
No.
No.
We did the past 2 years, so. I think we're going to give our bodies a break.
We're on a couple of like buzz bands for South By lists, and it's like, I don't think they didn't check with us. So, but we'll be there in spirit always.
I do. I love Austin.
We have a good time out there.
Yeah. I love the food trucks in Austin. There's this thing called the Frito Burrito that I got there that I think about all the time.
Ooh.
It's just like a vegan burrito with like a really bunch of crunchy Fritos in it, but it just like it really hit the spot. I got it like 3 times when I was there.
I think it's in that it's that vegan Banjo Joe's or something,
whatever it is. I'm getting that next time I go for sure.
Yeah,
I got a question for you real quick.
Tell me,
what's your favorite barbecue in Austin?
Yeah, we've heard a lot of different
I feel like I can't say because my cousin is actually the barbecue champion of Texas.
No way.
Whoa.
Yeah. He like goes around touring at barbecue competitions and he's won all of them. And he's actually going to Kansas City next year. It's super hardcore. So if it's not his barbecue, I like Franklin barbecue. It's really good.
Franklin. Okay.
Mueller's. That's a staple. It's been there for a long time. He just came back. But Franklin is really popular. A lot of people that come to town will go check that out. Or Sam's. Sam's is great.
Okay.
Man, I'm cool.
We got a few.
We hear about Salt Lick. That's what everybody tells us about.
Is that, oh, we, that's not that's not,
is look, that not legit?
That's not the look I wanted to see.
Yeah.
it's good. It's good.
It's
you know, Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights has been there. So
that's. Have you guys gotten into that at all?
No.
We won't get started with our obsession with that show.
I will start crying. Yeah. I love it so much.
My sister did an interview with him, and I have an autographed Lone Star beer bottle in my room from Kyle Chandler. It's the only piece of
memory. Pretty sick.
I'm going to break into your house tonight. It's going to happen.
He's exactly just like the coach.
He's just such a good. He's just a good guy.
He's the best. He's the ultimate man.
Yeah.
If I was a woman, I would definitely marry him. You know.
I probably will.
You have a chance. You know.
Sadly.
No, he's married.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's of course.
Yeah.
But he loves Tammy.
Tammy.
In real life, right?
Yeah. Like
we can't spill this, but.
No, my sister did an interview with him, and like. He referred to her, like, in the interview. No, it's, like, on the interview. You can see it, like, as my wife, like, two times in the interview.
Oh,
but he kept having to change himself to be, like,
well, my
on-screen wife. But really, he loves her.
He loves her. How could you not?
How could you not?
Yeah, she's great.
Well, I'm really sad because we have to wrap things up on You Look Hungry. But for listeners out there, you can visit Small Black's website. It's small-black.com. Okay.
And you should go there and get Moonkiller. It's free.
It's free and it's so good. It's so good. And you can also stalk them on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
At Small Black, but it's BLK.
Okay. Ooh, I like that. It's very, I don't know, minimalist.
they didn't have the
other one, just like the dash and Small Black.
Yeah.
I've been arguing with this guy in India for months.
God. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show and congratulations on the mixtape. And we look forward to seeing the rest from you guys in the near future.
Sweet.
Cool.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having
us. And thanks to Carlos Salguero, Jack Inslee, the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio, and Roberta's. I'm your host. I'll see y'all next week.
Let's go out to eat and get some meat. Turkey and ham, macaroni and ham. Say, do you like steak? I can surely make. If you hear me now, sing it out for me, cry.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.